Very thankful this morning that there is a place of release and a place of rest that we can still find this morning at the feet of God. It's a place that we can come without reservation. We can come and we can be vulnerable. And we don't have to be afraid that God will betray our vulnerability. I've had situation more than once in my life that I was vulnerable to someone. And they betrayed it. And it makes me pretty cautious now. It makes you a little gun shy about being vulnerable when someone has taken, when you just open yourself up to someone and they take it and use it against you. But I am thankful this morning that we don't have to be afraid of that with God. That we can come just as we are and we can pour ourselves out to the Lord. And He will be there to strengthen and encourage and bless and renew and revive. And I'm just so thankful to have a wonderful God like that this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers, we look into the Word. The message the Lord put on my heart to share for today is really unintentionally a companion message to message we preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is what the Lord gave to me. I'd like to begin over in the book of Samuel, in the 2nd chapter of Samuel, in the 23rd chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. And just as a little background to this passage, they were at war with the Philistines, and they were outside of Bethlehem. And so it said that David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. In other words, David did not even have access to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is known as the city of what? The city of David. So he knew Bethlehem well. David knew what was there. There was a special place that Bethlehem had, I believe, in David's heart. And the Philistines were there, and it said, David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." In other words, David knew where the good water was. He was thirsty, and you know, you can have water out of the faucet, but there's something about drinking water that's fresh and clean and cold, and there's something like that kind of water that nothing else satisfies. And David knew where the good water was, the well that, where that cistern was that collected, that was deep and cold. And he was there in battle, and he wasn't able to get there because the enemy was in the way. And I can just see David there in the, possibly after some of the battle and whatever, and he's like, "Oh, I just wish I could have a drink of that cold water." And you know, sometimes the things that we cannot have, it creates even a greater desire for. Because David knew he couldn't have it. At the time, at least, the Philistines were there, but there was a longing, and he expressed that longing and that desire. And it said, and the three mighty men, and I don't know who all those three mighty men were, but, you know, they were some of the, it says up in before, three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David, and anyway, the story goes on. But there were these three mighty men, and I don't know how they were mighty, but because of what they're gonna do, it tells me probably what made them great. There were three mighty men, and they break through the host of the Philistines, and they drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it and they brought it to David. You know, these three mighty men were not commanded. David did not say, "I want you three to go break through and bring this water to me." But I believe David was probably just around, and there were others around, other soldiers, and they were around, and David said, "Oh, I just wish I could have a good drink of that cold water from that well there at the gate in Bethlehem." But there were three men who heard that desire. They knew the longing that was there, and without being asked, It said that they went and they break through the host of the Philistines and they drew water out of the well and they brought it to David. This is what our king desired. This was something, there was a longing that our king, the one that we're serving, this is the one, this is our chief, this is the man that is over our kingdom, and he has a need and a desire. We're going to do what we can to see that that desire is met. And without being asked, and that's why I wrote the word willingness, these men had a willingness to risk their lives to satisfy their king. They were not coerced. They were not forced. They were not, David did not pull a sword out and say, you men, go get me this drink of water. But when they knew what the king's desire was, they put their life on the line and they broke through the enemy and they got that cup of cold water. And they brought it to David, and it said, they brought it to David, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord. What would you think if you were those three mighty men? We just risk our life. And we put our lives on the line for you. We might have died. But we were successful and we gave you our life to give you this cup of cold water. And David looked at it and, you know, he valued what those men had brought to him. Now some of you may think, well, David didn't value it because it said he wouldn't drink it, but he just poured it out. And you could say, well, he was pouring out what they had just put their life on the line for. But David valued so much what they had given to him. He said, I can't drink this. I can't even drink this because you put your life on the line. And he said, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. And instead of taking that water for himself, he poured it out as a sacrifice to the Lord. He said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this, for is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives, therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And there are so many lessons in this passage of Scripture this morning, but I wonder if there are not still some mighty men and mighty women and mighty boys and girls and mighty young people that would be willing this morning to put your life on the line for your king. God does not want to force any of us to serve him. God does not, and I know I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but children and young people, you need to obey your parents and you need to follow the rules of the home. The things and the guidelines and the standards of holiness and purity that your parents hold in the home, when you are in their home, you need to respect that. When you get out on your own, you're a free moral agent and you can do what you want, but when you are in the home, you need to be submissive. But you know, the Lord wants it to be more than that. The Lord wants it to be that I am going to follow God's will and His purpose, and I am willing of my own desire. Of my own desire, I want to do what pleases my King. And that's why the reason why some, they leave home and they go their own direction and they do their own thing. But if we would have a desire this morning from the youngest to the oldest that I know what God's will is, it's in His Word. And He's not going to force us. God will not force you to live a holy life. God is not going to force us to not do this and do that. It's so much more than a list of rules. But the Lord is looking for a people who, with a willing heart, have a desire to please Him. Definition of willing means that you're pleased to do something. It means with delight. With desire, I will. Is there anybody that will do such and such? And you said, I will. That means I desire to do it. I will take pleasure in doing it. I'm not being forced. And again, you know, sometimes when you young people and children are given a job to do by your parents, you can do the job, but it doesn't mean you're willing to do it. It means you're being obedient. I'm doing what I was told to do, and I've got to do it, so I guess I'll go do it. And you go get the job done. But if your heart is not in it, there's no pleasure in it. You don't get the same sense of satisfaction when the job is finished. But when you are willing, you will personally desire, I'm not only going to do it, I'm not only going to be obedient, but I choose. I will, and I'm going to take pleasure in obedience. And do you know that changes the perspective of serving God when we have a willing heart? There are too many people that are living in bondage, doing the right things for the wrong reasons. The Lord wants us to do the right thing. We are called out of the world to live a pure and godly life. But the Lord, if we could be like these three mighty men and say, Lord, if this pleases you, I am willing to give up of my own pleasure, my own desires, my own plans, and my own goals because I want to please my King. And you know, the Lord will accept that kind of sacrifice this morning. They went with a willing heart. And then David did the same thing. I have something valuable here. I have something that is, this is the blood of these men. And now that was precious to David, wasn't it? This is what I longed for. And David also had a willing heart. And he said, Lord, this is so precious, I'm not going to keep it to myself. But I'm just going to pour it back out to you. Do you know when the Lord blesses you, all of your talents and your strengths, your breath, your life, it's God that gave you those. And the Lord wants you to say, Lord, you've given me something precious and I'm just going to pour it right back out to you because I want you to use me like you want. I want you to work in my life. Lord, I will and I choose with pleasure to do your will. This morning, if you're struggling to be obedient to the Lord, do you know the answer isn't going to be in forcing yourself to do it a little bit better? The answer is when you can come and say, Lord, I'm just going to pour it out to you. I choose you. I choose. What does the song say? I choose the goodwill. Forever, I choose the goodwill of my Lord. I wonder how many of us are doing that this morning. Do you know this is what makes happy Christians? This is what makes us, this is what enables the Spirit of the Lord to move in our homes and in our congregations and in us as a body. It is only as we come as these three mighty men and say, Lord, we want to do this because it pleases you. This is why we live like we live. This is why we do what we do. Because we choose to do that. I don't have to live the way I live this morning. You don't have to live the way you live this morning, but we choose to. We're willing to. And this is where the joy is. We're not going to take the time to read all the verses because what's important this morning is that we get the message. But when they were building the tabernacle, and you can read this over in the book of Exodus in the 35th chapter, they were going to build the tabernacle and they needed donations. They needed the gold and the silver and they needed things to make it. In the fifth verse, he said, take from among you an offering for the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering of the Lord. And then it said they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they offered to the Lord. God in this place did not say, okay, we're going to take up an offering, and everybody get your 10% ready. 10%? Everybody get your 10%. You have to do this. And as some of you know, that a true tithe scripturally is closer to 25% if you want to follow the old law. But the reality here is this is not what God asked for. He said, there's a need here. There's work to be done. Is there anybody that would be moved in your heart to voluntarily come and offer something to the work to build this tabernacle? They came and did the same thing when they built the temple. David put out a plea to the people in 1 Chronicles in the 29th verse. And I thought it was interesting the way the scripture phrases it, verse 1 Chronicles 29:9, it said the people rejoiced. for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. Why did they rejoice? It was because they weren't forced to give. They weren't forced to sacrifice, but they gave out of a willing heart. They gave of a spirit that was, it said, with a perfect heart and a willing spirit. And I just wonder, Lord, would you help us to be like those three mighty men? That we're going to sacrifice not because we're forced, but Lord, what we give is we do it out of a free will. And you know, that's the reason why the scripture does not, in the New Testament, does not teach tithing. Because tithing is what you have to do according to the law. Giving is what you do of a free will. That's what a free will offering is. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Necessity means of the law. That's what he's talking about. Don't give grudgingly, or I have to, or because I'm obeying the law, for God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. What is motivating our service to the Lord this morning? There is a need for more service. There is a need for greater sacrifice. There is a need for greater consecration. And it's not all about doing the big things. Sometimes it takes more consecration from people to empty the trash than it does to go do some big thing for God. But what is going to cause us and motivate us in our homes and in the congregation and in the body of Christ to do our Father's business? It's not going to come about by the preacher with a big stick going around and say, you need to get busy and work for God. That's not the answer, because God didn't do that either. But what the Lord is looking for is people like these three mighty men. That, Lord, we are willing to hazard our lives. We're willing to give up what we could have done otherwise because we want to please our King. So when there's a project to be accomplished, the joy in service comes when it's willingly. And so then that means, Lord, help us to examine our willingness today. It's not enough to say we're obedient. Folks, the Lord wants us to be obedient. Don't misunderstand me. Don't stop being obedient, but there is no joy in obedience unless it's done with a willing heart. Given the illustration, a wife that is to submit herself to her husband and she's grimacing and grumbling and the whole time she's doing what he said to do, where's the joy in that? There's not. Children, when you're told to do something and you can grumble inside and mutter inside and your parents won't see it, but there's no joy there. Do you know that people can serve the Lord that way too? We can be obedient. I'm doing what the Bible says. Yeah, that's why I can't do this. I'm doing that. And yeah, I'm being obedient. But where's the joy of the Lord? We sang the song, Happy in the Savior. Do you know the enemy is working really hard to steal the joy from God's people? And I wonder why. Why isn't there more praise? Why isn't there more joy? Is it possibly because some people are losing their willingness? So Lord, help us to open up our heart and say, Lord, I desire to please you. Someone says, why do you do that? Well, my parents won't let me. It only takes you so far, young people. Then the next answer is, well, my church teaches against it, or my church, that'll only take you so far. But when it comes to a place that we say, Lord, like these three mighty men, I desire to please you. And the Lord is calling for us to live a holy life. He's calling for us to place ourselves on the altar and work for him. He's looking for a people who will love people. He's looking for a people that won't be self-righteous. He's looking for a people to separate themselves from the world and live a godly, holy, righteous life. But what's the impetus to that? What is the force? What is the motivation? It should be our willingness that, Lord, I choose to live this way. And that is where the joy of the Lord. This is the very thing that David challenged Solomon with in 1 Chronicles in the 28th chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. He said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the Lord, the God of thy father, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and he understands all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off." How long has it been since you really examined what's motivating you to live like you live? If you're living right or if you're living wrong. How long has it been since you've examined your intents and motivations? And the Spirit of the Lord would challenge us this morning to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. That, Lord, I want to please you. This is why Jesus, when he gave the call, he said, "Whosoever will." That "will" is not just a casual word in the English language. Whosoever has a desire and will find pleasure in it, come and follow me. Whosoever will. This is where the Lord is looking for service this morning, not forced. Have you ever been disappointed in someone? The call came and said, "Who's willing to do this and this and this?" People said, "I'll do it. I'll do it." And then the job doesn't get done. Y'all ever had someone do a job for you? They said they would do the job, and then they didn't do it? And it's just, it's disappointing. It's like they said they were going to do this, and they didn't do it. So you see, we don't want to leave obedience out of this thing. And that is the reason why over in 2 Corinthians, and we will conclude here shortly, but in 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter, in the 10th verse, Paul speaks and brings willingness and obedience together. He said, "Herein I give my advice." Now, he was speaking to the church at Corinth about taking up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. All right? There had been those that had been collecting offerings to help the poor. And you know, it should be no different today. We should still be helping those that have need. That's the pattern that was set before us. And so there were those at Corinth that had expressed a willingness to assist, but they didn't follow through with it. And so Paul said, he said, "Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." In other words, you all started a year ago. You started to do a good thing, but the willingness of mind, you all need to follow through with it now. You need to finish what you started. It's easy to start something for the Lord, folks. It's easy to start and say, "Lord, I'm going to do this for you." But what about when the initial enthusiasm wears off? What are we going to be doing then? Do you know it's the reason why it's hard to find good volunteers? You could say, "Who will volunteer? We've got this ongoing need that we need someone to do it." There are people sometimes, I'd like to do it. We found this out real, I want to be careful. I don't know. We had a job a while back and we needed some volunteers. And there were people that volunteered, but you know, their volunteer, it didn't go very far. It was right among God's people. We needed volunteers and it didn't last very long till we were left with over 75% of it to say, "Okay, what are we going to do?" Because after that initial willingness, there was a lack of performance. And Paul, he was exhorting the people. You're not going to be judged if you don't have the ability. We're not judging if you can't do it, but he said, you had a willingness to do something good. Now perform it. Follow through. When the emotion is gone and when the enthusiasm, it may not be there, be steady and consistent in follow through. Do you know a large part of our serving God is going to be done in the mundane? It's going to be done when there's not a lot of emotion. There may not be a lot of things going on, but Lord, my heart is willing and I'm going to serve you. And I want to perform and I want to follow through on my willingness. So I want to challenge us this morning. Let us continue on and follow through with our willingness of heart. But if you are being obedient and the joy is not there, come back to your motivation. And I wonder if the Lord would like more of us this morning as David did when he had something, said, Lord, this is precious and I'm just going to pour it back out to you. I'm going to give it back to you, Lord. The Lord came and asked me one time, he said, are you willing to put your ministry, are you willing to lay it down? You know what my question was, Lord, you gave it to me, but will you give it back? He was letting me know whose it was. He was reminding me, all of us have life this morning. God has blessed all of us with things in life. Are we willing to say, Lord, it's yours. Use it, don't use it, but it's yours. But the joy is going to come from a willingness of mind. If ye be willing and obedient, what do you say we'd have? You'd eat the good of the land. I want to eat the good of the land this morning. My desire is, you wonderful young people and children here this morning, I want to see you eat the good of the land. But the good of the land is going to come when we have this mindset of these three mighty men. My king has a desire. I'm willing to put my life on the line and I'm going to go do what my king likes or what he would desire, because that's where the real joy of serving the Lord comes from. May the Lord bless us, is my prayer.